So the Srimad Bhagavatam is, it's like, it's showing pastimes of how people come to Krishna consciousness. And it's not usually a case where somebody just born like a devotee and just picks up the Bhagavatam and says, this is what I should do. I should chant Hare Krishna, I should serve Krishna, and this is what I'll do for the rest of my life. Because we are conditioned souls, even up to the demigods, they make mistakes. So the Bhagavatam is also about many pastimes of personalities who have made mistakes and then who have done something about it and have achieved the ultimate destination, and that is devotional service. So for many, just like you have the example of Ajameel or even Dhruva Maharaj. Yesterday someone was speaking about Dhruva Maharaj. Actually, a few weeks ago, I was in that place where Dhruva Maharaj performed those austerities in a place called Madhuban, or the village is called Maholi. And there, Dhruva Maharaj, in 6 months, gained the darshan of Lord Vishnu. So these are pastimes in the fourth canto described this pastime. And there's many, many, I'm sure if you try to remember the different chapters in the Bhagavatam, there's many, many places where these things happen. Because the living entity is prone to making mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. And because we're conditioned souls, and because we've for many, many lifetimes we've been in the material world, who knows how long. So finally, we have a chance to engage in devotional service. So we can expect difficulties, because that's the nature of the material world. There's always some kind of difficulty arises. Like today is very cold outside. These are difficulties arising from the devas. Because this country is, you know, we expect this cold weather. So you have Adidevak. You have difficulty, you know, problems coming from the demigods. Because we understand that everything is controlled by somebody. So the Lord controls the demigods who control the weather. So in this way, somebody's in control. So these are what's called Adidevak. And of course we have lots of problems coming from Adiatmak, from ourselves. Probably the majority of our problems are coming from within. And then of course we have some Adibhautik thrown in from people who give us problems, or living entities. In India, when you sit down for a few minutes, there's always something trying to eat you, some mosquito or some bug, or, you know, if you sit too long anywhere, if you sit in a river too long, something will try and bite you. If you sit on the seat of a train for a while, something will try and bite you. I remember Tribhuvanath used to be telling us this. Anyway, the actually, interestingly, gosh, there's a bug. Bug on the Bhagavatam. Interestingly enough, there was a living entity. Listen, small little caterpillar. Anyway, just recently, actually, a devotee actually in Vrindavan, there was Prabhupada's disappearance day, and the temple president or whoever said, okay, this Prabhupada's disappearance day, so no political comments or anything, you know, just glorification of Prabhupada. And I could see, actually, there's one devotee, he obviously read this book. It's Prabodhananda Sarasvati. I don't know if anybody is familiar with him. He's, anybody know who he is? Sure you do. Knowing who is Prabodhananda Sarasvati? Like, anybody know who his nephew is? Srinivas knows, right? Speculator. You don't know, right? You don't know? It's when Mahaprabhu went to South India, he stayed at a house of a devotee called Venkar Bhatt, because he was observing this Chaturmas. He decided to stay in one place for 4 months and perform austerities. This is something that we generally don't do, because we're more of a preacher, like we're we've got a mission from our spiritual master, so he never told us to do this, so then that's why we don't do it. But traditionally the sadhus would take vows, they wouldn't shave, they would eat once a day off the floor or a khichdi, and different vows they take, you know. Mahaprabhu stayed at his house, and it was there actually where sort of Venkat Bhatt and two brothers, one of the brothers is Prabodhananda Saraswati, and then there's a nephew there, the son of Venkat Bhatt, and his name was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Of course, actually it was there where they were great devotees of Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra. And there's one instance you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Mahaprabhu was kind of making a little bit of fun at the same time, but he was saying, why is it that your Lakshmi desires to get the association of our Lord Krishna? Lakshmi Devi, she performs austerities. I've just lost a bug. Hopefully I'm not going to end up walking on a small caterpillar in the back of them. That was a question that was put forward, because actually Lakshmi Devi in a place called Bailban in Vrindavan, she's performing austerities in order to enter the Rasa Leela, but she cannot enter because she's attached to opulence. So he was kind of joking a bit about this. And then there's explained that Krishna has a certain number of extra opulences that Lord Ram hasn't got, particularly the wonderful leelas that Krishna performs. So anyway, he stayed there, and devotees got so attached to Mahaprabhu that when he left, they were devastated. Prabodhananda Saraswati followed, and later Gopal Bhatta Goswami followed, and they resided in Vraj. Gopal Bhatta Goswami ended up in as a village called Sankit, which is known as a yoga pit. It's in between Varshana and Sankit, and Nandagram is a place in his Bhajan Kutir, that's where he stayed. And Prabodhananda Saraswati stayed out at place in Kamyavan called Surabhi Kund. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's very, his writings are very interesting. It is connected to my story about Vrindavan, because he sees only Lord Chaitanya. He's not interested in the different incarnations or avatars. This is coming out of his great love for Lord Chaitanya. And so, There's a part in it where, let's see, I'll give you an example. He says, pathetic are the followers of the Vedic rituals, pathetic are the practitioners of severe austerity, pathetic are the dull-witted fools whose mouths have blossomed with the words, I am a Brahman. Why do we lament for these animals in the disguise of men intoxicated by the taste of things other than Krishna? Alas, they have not tasted even a drop of the nectar of Lord Gauranga. So he speaks strongly. And then, let's see, 43. Here's another one. Pathetic is my noble birth. Pathetic is my eloquence. Pathetic is his noble birth, pathetic is his eloquence, pathetic is his fame, pathetic is his scholarship, wealth, and handsome young body, pathetic is his status as a Brahmin, pathetic is his observance of Varnashram Dharam, pathetic is he who in the age of Kali does not worship the golden form of Lord Gopinath. So in other words, so I'll just read you the verse now. This one devotee got up and he started speaking like this. He said, the hell with the Varnashram, the hell with the temple presidents, the hell with..." They were gone for about 10 minutes. I don't know if anyone was there. And then at this stage, I got up and left. You know, I was like, and some other devotees were going, "The hell with you." You know, because like, he trashed everybody, you know. And so I'm trying to... The next day he had to apologize after Mangalarti But I'm trying to explain how, because actually, I'll tell you the verse that I would imagine he was thinking of. Now that the pollen of Lord Gaura's footprint has touched this earth, even without trying for it, has not attained the pure love of Krishna, that the crest jewel of all human endeavor. Alas, alas, because of great misfortune, only I have not attained even the slightest trace of the fragrance of that love. Because of this calamity, I say, to hell with my worthless life, to hell with my erudication, to hell with my high place in Varnashram society. So in other words, if you don't get these things, and pretty much, you know, like you don't get the dust of Mahaprabhu's feet, well then what's the value of all these other things? Now of course there is value, you know, in the Varnashram system. It's there to regulate people, to purify themselves. There is value in the temples. There is value in all these different practices. There is value in like the Nam Hatha program and all these different things. But ultimately, if one does not get a taste for Lord Chaitanya, then we may have missed the point. Just like you have many different religious systems, and a lot of time they concentrate on the externals and to forget what it's really supposed to be about. Also in our society that can also happen. We get involved with the externals and we don't progress into the inner self that we're supposed to do. But Prabodhananda Saraswati, although he's quite extreme, because also we it's not that we don't have no interest in the other incarnations, that we have no interest in Yashoda Krishna, or no interest in Krishna and Bhagavad Gita and the battlefield. But we do have, because Prabhupada, he wanted us to, he did not want us to only concentrate on Radha Krishna Ras Leela and not concentrate on Krishna and Arjuna. He wanted us to understand that this Yashoda Krishna is such wonderful, it can bring complete satisfaction. But devotees, we sometimes materially calculate, oh no, this is a higher ras, so I go for this only, you know. So anyway, here Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's very strong in his statements. But along with the strong statements, see, one must also have the humble understanding. And that's where this comes in as well, because we have to see that ourselves as being lowly personalities. I guess I'll read one. It says, I am cheated, I am cheated, I am cheated. Of this there is no doubt. Although Lord Gaura has plunged the entire world into a flood of love of Krishna, I have not been touched by even a single drop. So he's taking this humble approach that the whole world has got love of Krishna, but I don't have any. Now Prabodhananda Saraswati, he was a great devotee in the temple of Sri Rangam. He was a great Vaishnava already before he met Mahaprabhu. And of course he has great devotion to Mahaprabhu. Although he did not want his name to be mentioned in the books. You know, he kind of, just like Lokanath Goswami, he won't find his name mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he didn't want his name mentioned. And he instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj not to do this, you know. In exchange, he was actually able to give more information on Mahaprabhu, but that was part of the deal. So these are great, great Vaishnavas. So we can learn from this. One thing we learn, humility, but also we can learn the unique situation of Mahaprabhu, how unique that is, what he's giving the holy name. I'll give you another example. Why should a devotee who aspires to attain the service of Lord Krishna Chaitanya beg at the door of a king who would be such a fool that even after attaining the priceless Chaitanya jewel, he would travel a great distance with much, much trouble to get a silver trinket. So the mercy of the Lord Chaitanya is been explained as like, you know, like this jewel that can that can give you everything you want. So why would you bother go for a little silver trinket that maybe some king might be able to give to you? So like this is how Prabodhananda Saraswati is describing the value of taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So I thought. So anyway, I know it's just that it came up because a devotee made a kind of a mistake by taking some of the information or taking some of the verses, but not looking upon the whole thing. Because the more one advances in spiritual life, the more humble one will get. And of course, I'm not speaking from my own experience. And you will appreciate. You will see yourself as not having, that you don't have any love for Krishna, but you'll see the other people as, yes, they are devotees, but I'm not a devotee. I'm only trying, endeavoring. And also, because it's in the mood of the gopis, which is what we follow, is that they never say that I have attained Krishna now. Krishna is mine, I've achieved, sorted it all out, I'm fine. They always like the verse Hey Radhe Rajadeva Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. The Goswamis are running from forest to forest looking for Krishna. Is he at the bank of the Yamuna? Where is he? You know. So that's what they are seeking to achieve. This and they never feel satisfied. They're always hankering, because in the mood of the gopis say, even when they're in the presence of Lord Krishna, they are they could be feeling separation. They're worried, oh, Krishna has left. Like, say, like the past time that happened at Prem Sarovar, where even though Radharani is sitting on the lap of Lord Krishna, there was a bumblebee flying, and Lord Krishna asked Madhu Mangal to chase that bee away. And Madhu Mangal chased the bee away, and then he said, oh, Madhu is gone now. When Radharani heard that, she went into great ecstasy. She was like, she thought that Lord Krishna had left. So when Lord Krishna saw this, then he started contemplating actually leaving Vraj, because he's seeing this. I hate to change the topic, but I got my insect. Can someone put him out the window, maybe? There's a little caterpillar here. I'm just going to coax him on. There you go. You take him out. It's a funny thing. I tried to do this about 20 years ago. It was an earwig, and we were walking up and down chanting, and we put him out the window ledge, and he fell into a cobweb, and a big spider came out and grabbed him. So it's not always easy, you know. In the material world, there will always be some kind of fault. Every endeavor is covered by a fault. So, thanks. Sorry about that. Hopefully it didn't fall into a cobweb. Probably just froze to death. So, in the material world, everything is covered by fault. We all have faults. But still, even though that we're in a bad situation, even though we're born in the Western world, even though our mind may be full of all kinds of unwanted things, still we should engage in devotional service. Because Srila Prabhupada saw that there was an urgency, that people died all the time, you know. Even when I was on Vraj Mandal, there was people, oh, how's him? Oh, he's dead now. Oh, we went to one village in a place called Alipur, which is actually it's considered the Himalayas, the Adi Badri, the original Himalayas start in Vraj. Because Vraj is like a lotus flower, it's a dam. When the whole universe is destroyed, Vraj is still sitting there, you know, it's not part of the universe. Because it's Lord Krishna's home. It's not a tirtha, it's not a holy place. It's actually the home of Lord Krishna. So anyway, we were there. Because we stay in one house. Actually, there we have the best program ever. We have up to 2,000 people will come for a program. It's a very wild place. And there was a codicil, and the people cooked us potatoes. And it was the most ecstatic potatoes you ever had. Just potatoes and a little thing of salt they cooked for us because it was a codicil. And it was so tasty. But there, one of the brothers had died. You know, there was a few brothers. Because they live in, people live in extended families. You know, you end up like there's about 20 kids there. And there's, you know, the few brothers, and they're all in one, like, family, which is a very nice thing. His village life. Because Krishna, he was living in village. He was living that village life in the early morning. The two noises Krishna likes to hear is the churning of the butter and the grinding of the grains. And these are the two noises you hear first thing in the morning in the village. And, yeah, one of the brothers had died, you know. Oh, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's dead. Oop. So it's like, we see this all, you know, like in the Pancha Pandavakund, that was one of the questions in Kamyavan that the Yaksha asked the Pandavas. No, actually asked Yudhisthira Maharaj. When Yudhisthira Maharaj arrived at the Kund, he found his four brothers were dead, lying there dead, you know. Can you imagine your brothers all dead, you know? You have all these plans to take back the kingdom and all these things. And then you come to the Kund and your brothers are all lying there dead. The voice comes and says, answer my questions before you drink the water. And one of the questions, there's a group of questions. One of them, what's the most wonderful thing in the world? And Yudhisthira Maharaj answered it, that people enter the abode of Yamaraj every day, but nobody thinks that they will go themselves. So this is the most wonderful thing, most amazing thing. Everybody's seeing death at every time. Nobody thinks it will happen to them. So Prabhupada stressed that there's an urgency to give this knowledge. That's why he was printing the books. That's why he was having all these festivals, because he saw there was an urgency, because people are leaving their bodies at any time. Because we don't know how many life breaths we've been allotted. Everybody's allotted a certain amount of time, a certain amount of happiness we're allotted. We cannot increase our happiness. We're being given this happiness. There's nothing, you cannot, let me increase my happiness with a good bank balance. Yeah, that doesn't work. Your happiness has been allotted to you. Here's your happiness, you know, that's it. You enjoy it. Here's your suffering, that's it. Enjoy it. So if we can understand this, then we should not strive for this, because it's there already. It's already been given. The day before I left Vrindavan, one devotee was giving class, and he was saying how there's an urgency to preach. And now he was using the example how from a lot of predictions there's great calamities coming. He was talking about the Maya calendar runs out in 2 years. And so there's urgency. Right at this point in time, we're in a great position that we're able to print books. When I was in, just by making a couple of emails, I was able to have 50,000 books delivered from Bombay to Vrindavan. And when I arrived in Vrindavan, my name is on the boxes, and there's all my books, and they're all there, ready to go. Whereas imagine the difficulty of the first Sankirtan party of Narottam, Srinivas, and Shamananda. They're leaving Vrindavan, and they have to have the books written by hand. People must have been writing them by hand. So they're first traveling. Imagine, okay, we're going out and traveling Sankirtan, great. Okay, let's write the books, you know. Here we can be. The books cost 2.6 rupees each for a book. 2.6 rupees. It's very, very cheap. It's like 4 pence for a nice quality book. So we're in an age where this opportunity has come, you know. And then it was just a question of going out there. So any questions so far?